We're grateful, Father, we can come back again tonight, Lord, on this chilly evening and just come in here, Lord. We can feel your warmth and your presence, Lord. And Father, we ask that you would just condescend to come and make yourself known among us tonight, Lord. Speak to each heart, Father. Help each one here meet the needs as you promised to do, Lord Jesus. And Father, just be with us so that when we're ready to leave, we know that you visited us and you cared about us, Lord Jesus. And at the same time, let us turn and care for you also, Lord Jesus. We ask you just to have your own way, Father. In your name I ask this, amen. Amen. If you turn your Bible to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12. We're actually going to just kind of pick up where we ended last Thursday. Talk about our stuff. Things that clog up our minds and we so get so flustered about so many things, and we find out in perspectives, a lot of this just isn't very important. Because it ain't anything, little brother says, anything that's not eternal really just ain't that important. Now, in this life, it can be very important, and this body and our mind and all, it can mean a lot to us, but put it in perspective, and it's all going to pass away, except what's eternal. So let's read Romans 12. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just keep that in mind, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You may be seated, and while you be seated, if you would turn to Matthew 7, we're going to read a couple verses out of Matthew 7. And we're also going to read out of Psalms 27. Just want to throw some scripture out here so we all kind of get something to pull from when we start going, preaching this, and just ask God to come and have his way. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And now one more place, if you turn to Psalms 27. We'll read several verses there. Psalms 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Tonight I want to speak about confidence. What is confidence and how it can help us and how it can hurt us? Confidence, self-confidence is one of the most attractive attributes a person can have as a human being. It is just a wonderful thing, because self-confidence is a lack of fear. Confidence is the ability to accomplish things, because you're not like worried and you're fretting about this, whatever, but you just have the confidence to go ahead and accomplish something. All right? And, you know, it dwells here in our self-confidence, dwells in our spirit realm. And, you know, we have all these emotions, we have all these feelings and thoughts, but if you have confidence, strong enough confidence, you can override a lot of that stuff. All right? But recognize, brother and sister, that the spirit realm is unstable. It's subject to various influences and emotions and feelings and disasters and loss. And your confidence can rise and fall, wax and wane. And some people are just more naturally confident than others. And it's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. When I speak tonight, don't get me wrong. I am not saying self-confidence isn't good. It is a good thing. You can accomplish a lot with it. It's needed for your job. It's needed to raise your kids. You need to have confidence that you know what you're doing. You go to your job. If you don't have confidence in your job, you're not going to be, in yourself that you can do the job. You're not going to do a very good job. You're always going to be asking, boss, am I doing this right? Boss, am I doing this right? Your boss is going to say, shut up and do it. So don't get me wrong when I'm talking about this, but confidence, self-confidence, and this abilities that we have in ourselves to do things is something that is temporary. It's temporal, all right? I look at my life, and a lot of times over the years, I have recognized that I have suffered from a lack of confidence in certain things, as most people do. And what we try to do is we try to bolster it. We try to strengthen ourselves. We try to present ourselves in a way that we appear confident. A lot of people do this in whatever form that it is that you are doing it. Wow. I'm afraid to just dive in here, so I'm kind of taking my time building up. Look, we have confidence. We try to have confidence in things we value. For example, a pretty girl, she has found that she has value in this because she has confidence in her good looks. And this gives her a value in what she looks like. And so this is what her confidence is in, because I'm pretty. Pretty boy, the same thing. All right. And so this is where she goes for her confidence. And it's in our current world right now, a pretty girl has a lot of confidence a lot of times because she knows that she is very highly valued. That makes sense? All right? We like the feelings we get from this. Look at a young couple. They meet, they fall in love. The feelings they have, because this person I value values me. And I value this other person with value, and we both value each other, and we get such a confidence and get such a feeling of well-being and happiness and joy because I have found somebody. And then you get to know them a little bit better, and you find out all their faults, and you lose some of that value. But people want to have that feeling, and they think this is what it is to be in love. This is what love is, and so you seek that because this is what I want to feel. I want to feel such a feeling that whatever you say, it's not going to affect me because this person who values me, loves me, and is stronger than all your negativity. It's a good place to feel. It's a good place to be. And things that used to bother you probably ain't going to bother you as much anymore because I'm in love. And then after a while, that feeling goes away. And then that person falls out. Well, I don't love them anymore. But what happens? We get addicted to that. So I got to go find someone else who I get the same feeling from. What am I saying? I'm saying these feelings and this confidence and all these things we seek after are temporal. Now, real love doesn't just go by that feeling. Real love sticks around and you know, it stays true and is permanent and all that. So I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the feelings we get that we so fall in love with. Because it just feels good to be fearless. But But that realm, brother and sister, is not permanent. That is not real. That is not going to stay forever. And we get in there and we start living and we try to live in that place because that is where our feelings are, our thoughts are, our emotions, and we try to protect it in such a way so that we don't get hurt, so we don't lose our confidence, so that we can be this person that we try to project who we are. Because we all want to project a certain facade, a certain reality, the self, who we want people to think of us, how we want. I want Brother Paul to think of me a certain way, so I try to project that around Brother Paul, so he looks at me and says, well, Brother Phil, you're this and this, and I think, yes, I am. But if Brother Paul can say something that shakes that confidence, all of a sudden, he's hurt my feelings. All of a sudden, I pull back from him. All of a sudden, I have to protect that. And I find out it's nothing but a facade. It's something that I'm projecting. This is what I want people to see me as. This is what I want you to look at me when you see me. I want to have this kind of reputation. And we find out that ain't true at all. And we find out, brother and sister, that when we are trying to project something through our spirit realm like that, our own ideas and our own thoughts and our desires, we are building on sand because it's not on a solid rock. I am building myself, my self-esteem and my all these things that I want to be. It's built on sand because a storm comes along and it shakes it down. I get my confidence because I have my family around me. Hey, I'm not saying myself, but people, you know, that my family is around me and they love me and I love them and I feel protected and safe, and then something rocks the family and all of a sudden your foundations are gone. All of a sudden all these things that were so important to you, you're scrambling to pull them back, to build them back up. You're trying to make sense of your life because the storm came and it just washed it all away. And so you struggle to put your facade back in place, put your fortress back in place, put your stronghold back. You got to get this back together because all of a sudden everything who I thought it was is just disintegrating. You know that pretty girl? That happens around the time she's hitting 40. All of a sudden, her confidence is wrinkling away. I pick girls, like I said. It happens to guys, too. It ain't just a girl thing. Why? Because the things that we build on, we build our happiness, our joy, we build them on sand. Stuff that can't last. It's impossible. Donald Trump. Can I talk about Donald Trump? Y'all know who he is. Wonderful man. Donald Trump has got such a following because he presents as being so confident. He is so confident that he doesn't have to be politically correct. He says what he wants to. And that appeals to people because, first of all, confidence is extremely attractive. Plus, so many people are so sick of political correctness. And he gets up there and he has the backbone to say, I don't care what you say. You don't want to take your money away? I'm going to say what I want to say anyway. And people say, yes, I like that. Just don't look too deep. You might not like what you see underneath there. But in spite of how, look, why is he confident? Because he's a billionaire. He don't care if you support him or not. He can support himself. He doesn't care about, you know, he says, I don't care about the politicians. I'm an outsider. He's the biggest politician there is. But look, brother and sister, he is so kind because he has money, and money is defense. You can use money. You can have confidence if you have money because you can get what you want. And if he falls flat on his face in this election, he's gonna get up and start a new reality TV show, and he's still going to be Donald Trump. And everyone's going to think, well, he would have been a great president. He's nothing but a reality TV show host playing to be president. My point is this. They have these debates, right? And several debates ago, there's a woman, a commentator named Megyn Kelly, and she hurt his feelings. And she asked him questions that he didn't like, and he got into a tiff with her and had this on-running feud. And now this last debate, he said, you know what? Since she's going to be a moderator, I'm not playing. What was it? Because she had got past his confidence and hurt a little feeling in there, and all of a sudden, I'm going to go home and play by myself. All his bravado, all his confidence was shattered just like that. And he had to go off and protect himself so she wouldn't do it again. Now, if you asked him that, he said, that's a bunch of bull, but it's exactly what happened. I'm not going to go if there or she's there. What are you afraid of, Donald? Does that ever remind you of you on anything? Well, I'm not going to hang around with that person. They hurt my feelings. I'm going to go off and protect myself. Well, they made me mad. I'm going to just smart off to them. What are we doing? We are protecting the self. The self built on sand. Because we're afraid of the storm coming and washing it all away. Because so many times, brother and sister, we put up that facade and we build that fortress and we build that stronghold in there because we know how vulnerable we are inside. And we're trying to protect that poor little kid sitting in there scared to death. And we go through so many emotional and mental acrobatics trying to protect this little precious me. Because when you don't, you might get hurt. You will get hurt. And so what do you do? Be honest with yourself. How do you protect yourself? I'll tell you how I've done it historically. I withdraw. And I get away. And I keep people at a distance. Because if I get too close, I might be vulnerable and you might hurt me. Protecting this little self that I've built up inside myself and is going to be gone anyway. It's not eternal. This little self within my spirit realm, that's not even me. It's just a temporary expression of who I am. But it's expressing the wrong thing when it's all built on my own facade making, my own religion making. It's not true to begin with. Feels like it, doesn't it? It feels so strongly. Why did Satan pick your mind for his battleground? Because he knew that your emotions are so strong that if you are not willing to die to yourself, he's got you. And those feelings are so strong, you are so willing to protect yourself that it makes it just almost impossible to die completely to yourself. Because we hate pain and we are protecting ourselves from pain. You know that fear that rises up? You know what it's afraid of? Brother Todd comes up and he starts saying something that really just hurts my feelings. I'm not afraid of that. You know what I'm afraid of? It's gonna hurt. You can make me hurt. We hate pain. Don't you hate pain? I hate pain. But that's what we do. We spend so much of our life doing all these acrobats, all these twisting our mind and thinking this way. And we task our mind. We say, mind, fix this problem. Well, I don't say that, really. When's the last time you sat down and tried to figure out how to fix a problem? You just gave your mind the job to fix what's going on. And your mind goes, woo, 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 wow, wow, and it's going crazy. And we literally drive ourselves insane trying to fix our problems to protect ourself. And that's not even the real self. We are building on sand, brother and sister. That sand crumbles. Every time a storm comes along, someone comes along and sasses at you. Whoosh, there goes your foundation. There goes your confidence. And all of a sudden you're angry, or you're upset, or you're ready to lash back at them, or you're going to do something, and you spend the next 30 minutes trying to figure out how I'm going to get back to that person. How I'm going to, just tell him off. Or you know what, I'm not going to tell him off, but I'm going to sit over here, and if I ever get the chance, I tell you what, and pretty soon our minds are just going around, and we're sitting over there. We're thinking, man, nobody likes me, I guess, because I'm just so unlovable. And every one of those thoughts just flowing through your mind 100 miles an hour, and you're trying to stop it. You're trying to control your mind with your own mind. You know what Satan's doing during this time? He's taking a nap. He gave the throws a thought in there. He watches you for 5 seconds. Yeah, it had the desired effect. Good night. He sends some little, insignificant little imp up there to say, anytime they start calming down, just throw that thought in there again.
Yes, sir.
So he sits there on your shoulder, and every time you start calming down and get your mind of something else, he throws it back in there, and woo, 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 there you go again. Satan says, this is so easy. This ain't even a battle. This ain't even a battle. I just flipped the switch in your mind, and there you go, and I'm good for 3 more days. Why? Because we're trying to build on sand. There's no foundation. A little storm comes around. I don't care how well you build that foundation. If it's on sand, a little storm will wash. That water will just wash that dirt away, and whoosh, there you are, back to where you started. So what do you do, Brother Phil? How do you fix this? I'm going to tell you how to fix it, and you're not going to believe it because it's going to be too simple. Because if you would believe it, you leave here and do it. But some of you won't. You say, well, that might be work for you, Brother Phil, but it's not. Well, you make your own decision. Several years ago, when this was really becoming a reality to me, this whole thing, I recognized that I was spending so much time trying to build self-confidence on the wrong thing. You know, if I make enough friends, I'll never be lonely. I'm not fixing the problem. That's not fixing the problem. The problem is that I think I'm going to be lonely just because I don't have friends. Is the real me lonely? You tell me you're born again and that real you is lonely. No, it's just something that's projected in your mind. How can you be lonely if you are the very spirit of God? So what I did, I said, you know what? I need to build my confidence in God. I need to build my confidence in what God has done for me. I need to build my confidence in His promises and who He says I am. Now, these are some pretty good building blocks, aren't they? Uh-huh. But you know what I did? I took those and tried to build it in my spirit realm. I had the best building material there was, and I'm still on the sand building. Telling my mind, well, think this when that happens. Think this way when that happens. Think this way and just claim this and say this and do this. And pretty soon my mind's spinning around, and the storm comes and blows it all away. And I said, what am I supposed to do? I was using the good building blocks. This was what it was. God revealed these things to me. Yes, He did. But I took that revelation and building it in my mind. Think about it. Tell me you haven't done that. I take what God does and I think, I'm just going to think this. Well, I said, think these good thoughts. Absolutely. But watch where you're building your confidence. Where are you building? Where is it resting at? Failure. Again. How do you know you failed, Brother Phil? Because when the storm comes, I find myself scrambling for some kind of a something to hold on to. Someone comes and says the wrong thing, and there go my feelings. I'm a very emotional person. Always have been. I don't like it. I wish I was all laid back and chill and cool like a lot of people are. I'm not. That's not how God made me. And it's easy for me to feel those emotions escalate. And the more I try to protect myself from that, the worse it gets. The worse it gets. It's like you're in a hole and you're trying to dig yourself out of a hole by digging the hole deeper. Keep digging, Phil. You'll get out and, you know, 5 years later, you're 20 feet deeper. Deeper. Boy, I was trying, though. At least you're trying. At least you're sincere. Yeah, that sincerity is digging yourself to hell. Brother and sister, you must recognize the real you is not what's going on in your spirit realm. The real you is permanent. It's eternal. I'm talking about the born-again you. The real you sits there and decides, am I going to go off on this guy or not? Because see, what happens is something happens and your temper starts rising and somebody still has to make a choice. What are you going to do? That's who you are. The one who decides. That temper, you feel that. See, that's not you. That's not who you are, brother and sister, because if that was who you are, you would not be accountable for your actions. Because as soon as you feel something, you would have to act according to those feelings. That's not true. You get to choose. Sometimes you make a choice and that quick, but you still made a choice. Because sometimes you choose not to act that way, don't you? But when things get really bad, we tend to give in and we go ahead and act according to that anger. Well, see, brother and sister, if there is a choice to be made, that choice you're making is you. It ain't your temper. It's not your hurt feelings. Who are you? You're sitting there, you're watching. You see that, you feel that temper come up, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to take care of this situation. I got to protect myself. And then next thing you know, you're like repenting. Man, I did it again. I had this besetting sin. I have a besetting sin. I just keep doing it over and over. I just pray and pray it, and I don't ever get over it. It seems like God just doesn't answer my prayer. God is sitting there willing to answer your prayer if you would just get out of the way. Because you can say, God, take care of this. Take this temper from me. And the next time it rises up, you choose to go ahead and give in to it again. You ever really give it to him, give that temper to him, hands off like it's all Thursday night, he will take it. Now he's going to test you on that because you're going to feel that come up again. Now, did you really give it to me? I sure did. Step back and take your hands off. And it's going to come up again. Did you really give that to me? Yes, I did. Step back and take your hands off. Let me tell you something. You think, well, that might take a long time. I'm not speaking philosophy or theory or doctrine right here. I'm telling you from experience. You might be surprised how quick God will take that completely away from you when you really let it go. You will be surprised. You will be amazingly shocked that how free you are, the difference from yesterday to today, from today to yes. You know what I mean. I'm not speaking from just a theory. I'm speaking from experience, brother and sister. God will take that stuff if you will just put it in his hands and step back and say, that's not who I want to be anymore. Because see, that real you, brother and sister, that real revelation, who I was that I was trying to build out there, if I would have just got out of the way and let those things die, the Holy Spirit is sitting inside of you trying to manifest himself through you, but we have all this stuff in the way. You say, well, I want people to think I'm a kind, loving person. Well, that's noble. Until we go out and start trying to produce kind and loving in our own selves. You ever do that?
Yeah, we all have.
I want everyone to think that I just really love people. I really care. And you know, Brother Brad, they said Brother Brad always made the other person be like the big guy. Have you ever tried to do that? It comes across so fake. It is. It's fake. Oh, brother, I'm sure glad to see you. And why? And just, you're just shut up. We try. We want people to think that we are so holy, that we are so caring, that we have this heart full of love, and we hug and we say, oh, I sure miss you, and all this kind of stuff. And all the time, it's just us projecting ourselves. And the Holy Spirit sitting back there saying, are you done yet? Haven't I taken through enough trials that you're ready to give it all up yet? What more do I need to do to get you a place of fully surrendering? Lay your religion down. Lay your ideas down. Lay yourself down. Lay your pain down. You know what happens to your pride when it goes away? It don't hurt anymore. You hurt my pride. Well, if you didn't have it, it wouldn't hurt. You hurt my feelings. Well, if you get rid of them, they quit hurting. You say you think we should go without feelings? Of course not. But you know what we need to do? We need to get to a point, brother and sister, where we get all our own efforts, our own religion, our own striving, our own mess out of the way, and the Holy Spirit that's sitting in there can just live himself out. You want to love somebody? You want to love with your love or God's love? It's your choice. You want to be kind-hearted? You want to be your kindness or God's kindness? Because it's in there. It's all in there, waiting, trying to get out. But we won't let go of ourselves long enough for him to manifest himself. And brother and sister, it's going to happen. You've been chosen to manifest Christ, and he is going to manifest himself. Now, you can come the hard way, or you can come the easy way, but it's going to happen. You say, what's the hard way? The hard way is the way a lot of us been going through. Sitting there stubborn in our pews until God just wrecks our life. And then all of a sudden, well, God, maybe you do, or maybe you are. Maybe I do need to surrender this. Maybe I do need to get rid of this. And then after things get easy again and calm down and everything comfortable again, and then we get all sold up and hardened again. It scares me. I think I've said this before. It scares me sometimes to think what might happen next. People who still resisting. Well, I gave up this, God. What more do you want? Everything else. Everything else. How much Christ do you want to see? Well, I'm good with what I got right now. Well, you have just put a period unto your religion and died. But you're not going to do that because you're sitting in the wrong church. Mystery here is going to shake it down again. And you can come every time and get your hide scalded every time you come if you want, but you don't have to. You don't have to. You can sit there, and when you see that feeling coming up, you can choose to say, God, it's out of my hands. I feel anger. I've given it to you. They hurt my feelings. I'm in pain. It's all yours. You say, but don't you need to get in there and try to quit feeling that way? If you want to keep feeling that way, try to quit. It's true. I'm speaking from experience, and you know it. Try to just stop being angry. I'm just going to quit being mad at that person. I know what they said, but I'm going to just quit being mad at that person. I'm just going to stop. And you know what you do? You bury it. But it's still there. You need to forgive. Let it go. You know how you know if you let it go or not? The next time they come and do the same thing, it still hurts you again. That don't sound fun, does it? You know what? Brother and sister, let me just so you get this right. When you let it go and you put it in God's hand, what I meant to say is, it comes again, it surprises you the next time it happens, even though they've done it before. That's what I was trying to say. Oh my goodness, there it is again. Why? Because I had let it go. I had forgiven him. He hurt me again. Now, do you remember that? And do you protect yourself? Or do you say, I forgive you. Let it go. And you love this person and you're interacting and they hurt you again. Oh my goodness, he hurt me. And you forgive him again. And you let it go. And you love him. Kind of like raising kids, huh? Or do you hold that grudge and remember it and remind them sometime when you need to get a little advantage over them? Oh, I remember what you, yeah, but remember what you said? That was 6 months ago. I didn't forget. Protecting yourself. Living in that feelings realm. See, brother and sister, when you let all that go, then your confidence is because I see Christ manifesting through me, the real me. That's a confidence that can't be shaken, brother and sister, because it's God confidence. It's not me saying, you know what, I know I got the Holy Ghost, I'm going to prove it to you. You know what, I got so much love in my heart, I'm going to prove it to you. It's me like, you know what, I'm going to get out of the way and let God do what he wants. But what if he humiliates you? Praise God. He cared enough about me that he knew that I needed to be humiliated. You know what, that way you handle that humiliation might be someone else watching you, and they saw you got humiliated, and you just stayed humble. What's wrong with you? Don't you care? How can you just do that? How can you just let them talk to you like that? Your wife just sashed you up and down. I thought you were the head of the house. You just walked away. Oh, she was just having a bad day. You let it go. Not my house, man. I'm in charge of my house. You're in charge of nothing. You can't even control your own self. Can't control your own self, but you're going to control someone else. And all they need to be subject to me. You can't even bring your own self into subjection to the Holy Spirit. Building our facades, building up our religion, and everyone needs to see me in a certain light. Certain way I want you to see me. You know what happens when you let go of your protection? God protects you. God steps in and he protects you. Now, tell me you can't feel confident in that. You might not feel confident in your ability to protect yourself, but surely if God steps in, you can be confident in that. You trust him enough to let it go. How do you do it? Sit there and recognize who you are, and when those feelings come up, that's not me. That's not the real me. That feeling, that anger, that pride, that desire to gossip or whatever it is coming or it's rearing up inside of me, that's temporary. That's not permanent. That's not eternal. I don't have to react. You say, I'm going to try to quit feeling. No, then you're going right back there in the middle of it. Don't even try to stop it, that feeling. Don't even try to stop the feeling. Just don't react to it. Brother, sister, I am speaking from experience. God will take that away from you because that is how you give it to God. Say, God, I see this anger. I'm feeling very angry, but I'm not going to do anything about it. This is in your hands because I don't want this to control me. You say, well, what if he doesn't take the feeling away? Then you're going to feel it. I don't want to feel it. So can you control it? Can you take over and take charge again? How is that working? Let it go. Let it go. I'm just preaching the same thing I did last Thursday. Brother and sister, when you let go of your attempt to be the person that you want to be, and you step back out of that mess that you made of your life, and say, God, hey, it's all in your hand. I can't control this. This battle in the mind is too great for me. This person just looked at me funny, and all of a sudden I'm driving home just like tore up in my mind. Wonder if they did that. Wonder if they don't like me. Wonder if they thought this. Wonder if they thought that. Wonder what's going on. Why? You don't have to live that way, brother and sister. You can give it to God. Just step back and observe. Watch your mind go crazy sometimes. Seriously. Don't enter into it. Just watch it. Look at me. I can't get this off my mind. It's just going nuts. Look at me. Look at my mind. Look what's going on here. God, this is driving me crazy. You can be free. Say, God, I can't control this. Feelings. I can't control this temper. I can't control these things, but you can. I'm just putting it in your hands. I'm not going to react to it. You say, isn't that controlling it? If you're trying to do it in your own mind, no, it's not. If you're not reacting to it, then you're in control. The real you. You say, Brother Phil, that's pretty hard to do. You ain't kidding. I got to experience what I'm talking about this week in class. I was training some people, and someone said something, and my emotions go, and I'm sitting there, and I just ready to defend myself and to prove my point, because they were saying some things that were just stupid, in my opinion. And I had to prove they were wrong, because I have been a person that I have to be right. That's been one of the things. I always have to be right. It's the most ludicrous approach to life. I had to be right, because if I'm wrong, what if, oh my goodness, what if I'm wrong? I'd be shattered. And so I've struggled with this forever since I can remember, having to be right. I have to be right. I will argue my point to the death. It's beyond stupid, brother and sister. It's just imbecilic moronity that I have to be right. And that came up again this week at work. And I sat there and I watched that. And I said, Phil, just quit. Stop it. That ain't you. And I prayed. I said, God, here it is. You see this effect it's having in my spirit. You see how my emotions are escalated right now. I said, I don't want this, God. I don't want this to be me. But I can't control it. I've worked for years trying to get rid of it. Can't. Got through the day. The next day, Wednesday, I was teaching in class. And you know what happened? I promise you this happened, but the same thing started happening. That someone was disagreeing, and I was getting ready to prove myself right, and I noticed that there's no emotion there. It was gone. From one day to the next, brother and sister, it was gone. And that was happening, and I could care less if I was right or wrong or if they agreed with me or not. I did not do that. You say, well, is that gone for good? I don't know. It might come up again some other time, but you know what? If I take the same approach, it's not going to control me anymore. I told you I'm not just preaching a theory. I've experienced these things, brother and sister. We can be free of this junk that controls our mind. You say, you mean I won't have any more battles? Oh, please. Come on. This ain't fantasy land. Of course you're going to have battles. You're going to have battles every day of your life. That's where Satan comes. He's going to fight you harder and harder. But you can be free from all this turmoil, all this chasing after yourself. You can be free to believe what's true and surrender yourself, and God can start manifesting himself through us more than he ever has. Yeah, you're going to have battles. It's not going to get easier. But you can see progress. You can see yourself going forward. You can see more Christ manifesting through yourself. You can use this to die to yourself. You can use this to get out of your way. You can get this, and it can go down there, and all this stuff you've been protecting all these years, just let it go. Or you can sit here in church and have it ripped out of you limb by limb. Probably takes both. Key, brother, sister, is recognize who you are. Brother Branham said, when the bride knows who she is, the rapture goes. You are not those feelings. You are not those emotions. You are not that anger. You say, well, what if it's righteous indignation? Well, it might be. I've seen very little of that myself. It might be righteous indignation, but if it is, it's going to behave righteously. Righteous indignation doesn't go and chew someone's head off. What is it? It becomes confidence in what God has called you to be. Let me give you an example. Brother Jerry many times has talked about how when he was an assistant pastor up with his dad in Ohio, and they're going for a conference, you know, a consultation, whatever, and his dad always knew what to say. He said, how do you do that? He said, hey, man, you just get there and you wait for God to come on and speak. It's a confidence, knowing confidence in the calling and the gift that God gives him. And he's just going to come and he's going to take care of it instead of trying to fix it yourself. And that's exactly how Brother Jerry has taken care of this church. People getting into their flesh around and say, Brother Jerry, you need to do this. You need to do this. You need to take care of this. You need to kick David out. You need to get rid of Sue. You need to do all this kind of stuff. No one ever said get rid of Sue. But you need to do all this kind of stuff. And what he would do, he would just sit back and say, when God moves, I'll move. What is it? Confidence. He knew that God was on his side. He knew God was going to take care of it because God had put him here and it was his job. And it works. I sat back there and you know, someone back there talking to Brother Jerry and sitting there, I'm watching. And, you know, Brother Jerry's just kind of sitting there and the person's talking in the chat. And all of a sudden you just can sense that God comes on the scene and he starts dealing with the situation. A lot of times Brother Jerry don't know what to say when he's going there. He's just sitting there waiting for God. It's the same, get up to preach, it's anything you do. You go to pray and sometimes you have no idea what to pray about. And you just start praying and all of a sudden you just feel that anointing. And all of a sudden you're praying for stuff you hadn't even thought about. What is this? Confidence in God. Let your confidence be there. That's not taking God, okay, I'm going to go pray and I'm going to do this and I'm going to accomplish this and I'll prove to everybody what a wonderful person. Look at the faith I have. Look how much I love you. God has done this for me and I'm going to come out and someone's going to say something. I'm just not getting my feelings hurt. Please, go back to first grade with me. Let's start all over. What is it? We're trying to project me. We want people to think good of me. I want you to love me. And God's saying, it ain't about you. But I want it to be, because if it's not about me, what if the real me is exposed? What if people really see how weak I am? What if people really see the real me behind all my facade? They won't like me. Wah. As long as you're protecting that person, you are limiting what God can do in your life. As long as you're protecting that me inside, that little vulnerable, little pitiful self, God cannot take your life fully in control because you're still protecting you. You got to let it go. And it's going to hurt. And then the pain goes away. You say, I don't have my feelings hurt anymore? No! Quit it! This ain't some kind of drug where you get a high and you don't feel anything anymore. But that old nasty self that controls you, controls your mind, drives you crazy, that you die to that, brother, sister. Your feelings get hurt after that. Okay. You hurt my feelings. That didn't change my confidence. That didn't change who I am. I am free. Oh, hallelujah. Then you can say something and it's just like, okay, I forgive you, brother. And go on. You don't sit there and get bitter. You don't sit there and stew about it. You don't sit there and wonder if anybody likes me anymore. It's all gone, brother, sister. You can hurt your feelings. You feel the pain. And you say, it's in your hands, God. And you walk away. I tell you what. There is so much freedom for those of you who are willing to die to that old nasty self. So much freedom. So much confidence. So much fearlessness. You're not afraid of being hurt anymore. Because that ain't you anyways. Glory to God. That ain't you anyways. That's just temporary. My, think about it. Do you want to be free or do you want to protect yourself? I tell you what. One thing when that happened at work, I walked around feeling awful free. I was thinking, disagree with me. I don't care. All right, I'm wrong. You know what? Should I tell you something else? After we finished class today, this one lady, she came up to me. She said, I hope this isn't inappropriate for me to say this. Because she said, at the beginning of class, I could tell that there's one of these students in here that was annoying you. She said, and then you just kind of like let it go and everything was fine. She said, I was really impressed. Something like that. She didn't even recognize. She recognized something happened. She didn't know what it was, but I do. She recognized it. I'm not spinning fables up here, folks. This stuff is real. You want to be free? Recognize who you are. Let your confidence come from the soul, not from something you're trying to erect out here in your spirit realm. Like I said before, I'm not talking about you, that self-confidence is a bad thing. If you have self-confidence, thank God for it. It can be very effective in this life. It can be very helpful. But it's also temporary. It can go up and down. It wavers. It gets strong. I've been in situations I have so much confidence. I just felt so good about myself. I was just so happy and so much joy. And the next day, you're just down in the pits again. What a horrible way to live your life. If you're on the mountaintop or if you're down in the pits, you still have confidence because God is still in you. God is still real. And it's not something I'm trying to project. It's Him projecting it. He's projecting it. I didn't go into work Wednesday and say, okay, from now on, I'm not going to have those feelings about having to be right and have to prove myself. I didn't know anything had changed until it happened, and then I recognized I'm different. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Oh, my. When He becomes your light and He becomes your salvation instead of you trying to save yourself, then you can say, who shall I fear? What if they hurt your feelings? Who cares? Who shall I fear? That's just old stupid old nature Phil getting hurt anyway. Let him hurt. Because when I take that attitude, I will still love that person anyways. Because it ain't my love. It's God's love. Do you recognize what that says? It's not my love. It's God's love loving through me. It ain't me. It's God's faith believing through me. It's God's love doing this. Who cares if I love you or not? God loves you. He loves you through me. Who do you think you are? I think I'm a son of God. Let that become a reality to you.
God wants to touch the world. He wants to love people. He wants to show himself. He wants to save someone. And he's looking for someone who will get out of the way and allow him to do it. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? There's my confidence. What do you need, Brother Phil? I just need to die more and more every day, that I need to die more and more. Give up the soul self. Give up my ideas. Give up my protection. Give up everything that I can't do anyways. I tried so hard to protect myself, and 53 years later, I'm a total failure. Why? Because I have spent so much of my life setting up all these protections. I hang out with a certain kind of people. I hang out, I do certain kind of activities. I only go to, you know, I do this and I this, and I make sure and I watch you, and I don't get too close until I know I can trust you, and all these kind of things. And I'm still at a point where someone says one bad word, I'm all tore up. What a little baby. What a little baby. Brother Paul didn't like what I preached tonight. I could tell by the way he said something to me. Fine. I won't talk to him Sunday. Yep. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Brother and sister, let me tell you what. That scripture was fulfilled in my life Wednesday. Because my enemies came up and they came to devour me. My enemies of that fear and all these things, and it came up and they stumbled and fell. They disappeared. Though a host should encamp against me. You ever have that? Those demons come and they surround your mind and they got it going like a merry-go-round, just whirl, like that, just driving you crazy. A host encamped against you because they know what you're going to try to do. You're going to try to get your mind to take care of this situation. You're going to try to get your mind to solve your problem. Though a host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. My heart will not fear. What am I going to be confident in? Because one thing have I desired. Oh, hallelujah. One thing have I desired. Down below all that pain, all that hurt, all that self-pity, all that junk I gone through, there was something deeper than that. And said, yeah, all that might be true, but one thing have I desired. Oh, brother and sister, when you get to the point where you recognize that there's a deeper desire than all yourself, brother and sister, you recognize who you are. One thing. I remember a long time someone stood there and said, what do you really want? I said, I want to be saved. He said, stop. He said, no, tell me, think about what do you really want? And I remember standing there, and it wasn't me because I couldn't have done this, but something just went down deep inside. And it kept dropping. And it kept dropping. What do I want? And it caught. And it stopped. I said, I want to be a real Christian. That is the one thing I desire. The real me. There's something inside that thirsts for life, that can't find any satisfaction except in a living Christ. Take your religion and flush it. I have no need for it. I want a living Christ. That's the only thing that satisfies down here. And that's the same thing with you. One thing that I will, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. I'm tired of seeking after projecting Phil Bontrager. I'm tired of protecting Phil Bontrager. I want Phil Bontrager to be cool. I want to be popular. I want to have friends. I want to be all this kind of stuff. I'm sick of it. One thing I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire
in his temple. I'm not talking about coming to this church. That's not the one thing that I desire. I want to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. When he said, seek ye my face, my heart says, your face I will seek. It's his, it's the body of Christ. That's my desire. That's the house of the Lord. Oh yeah, you need to come here, brother and sister, because this is a doorway to get there. But that's what your heart desires. It isn't some other religion. It isn't saying, see if I can live good enough, Lord. If I can just look good. If I can just, let me tell you what. You start dying to these things that you're protecting right now, and you're going to find yourself living in a realm that you only used to dream about. I promise you. Brother Branham said, Jesus lived as a mystic. He lived in a realm no one else could understand. Brother and sister, you and I will too. We don't act normal. We don't act right. We quit protecting the soul self, and we started allowing Christ to manifest through it. You want to see Christ? Just get out of his way. Get out of his way. He's in there. He's trying. Phil, I want to be. I want to be this. I want. You fill in the blank. What do you want? You know, Brother Phil, I just wanna grow up and get married and have a family and just, you know, go to church and just be a good person. Well then go do that. Nothing wrong with that. What if that's not God's will for you? Is that your desire, just to be a normal human being? Or is there something deeper that says, I don't care what it takes, there's something that's drawing me. My desire is I need to see a living Word, a living Christ. Build your house on a rock of revelation. God says who you are. And if you believe that, then sit back there in that soul and let him have control. And when you feel your emotions rising, when you feel all this stuff coming up, watch it. Just sit there and watch it. Man, I am tore up about this. My old self is. My old nature is tore up about this. It hurts. It makes me mad. It drives me crazy. But it doesn't control me. Can you do that? Only by the grace of God, but you can. I'm going to have to quit. I was going to read all of the rest of Psalms, but it's a really good chapter. Just whole things goes up. Let me read one more scripture, and then I'll try and quit. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, it says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I promise you, brother and sister, if you are still loving with your own ability, you are loving in word and in tongue, and not in truth and in deed, because a human being can't do that correctly. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Assure our hearts, a confidence in our hearts. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Notice what he said is condemning us or condemning us not. Our heart. If your heart condemns you, it means you need to repent for something. If you repented for something, then your heart no longer condemns you. Don't you dare listen to your flesh tell you something's wrong. If your heart's not condemning you, then it's Satan condemning you. And if he's condemning you, don't listen to him. Because then you have confidence towards God. Once you repented and you know you let it go, then walk away from it.
Don't let him drag that around. Yeah, but you cussed that person out. You did this or you whatever. I repented. It's done. My heart doesn't condemn me anymore.
I didn't say your feelings don't hurt. I don't say you don't feel bad.
It has nothing to do with it. What's your heart telling you? Because see, if you go by your feelings, to whether or not your heart condemns you or not, to whether or not you feel condemned, you walk around defeated. Because every time you do something wrong, your confidence plummets. Isn't that right? I know I'm a born-again son of God, and then I go and do something wrong, and right away, I don't know if I'm born again anymore.
I'm not the only one who goes through that, am I?
Brother Phil, you struggle with that? Well, I'm a human being, goodness sakes. But brother and sister, you can get to a point, we can get to a point where that doesn't come up anymore. Why? Because we recognize our heart. It's not condemning us. You make a mistake, you repent, God takes care of it. By faith, you walk on, and your feelings and your emotions and your conscience might be saying, oh, you're a sinner, you did this, you did that. And you look inside your heart and you say,
I'm good. I have confidence towards God because I know that His word is true. And His blood was shed for this moment. And I know my desire from my heart. I got to say one more thing here. Look, you want to know if your desire is from your heart or not? Did He predestinate you by your choice? Right? Now, did you make that choice in your mind by your own personal willpower?
Well, of course not. Then everyone who has a strong willpower goes to heaven, and everyone who don't have a strong willpower doesn't go to heaven. That ain't the way it works. It's from your soul. Your soul chooses. It chooses to believe or not to believe. And God looks down through time. He says, this person's soul, from their soul, they're going to believe. I predestinated them. I'm going to make sure to give them life.
It's not your mind. It's a lot stronger. It's a lot deeper than that.
If that was the case, every time you decide, well, forget it, I'm out of here. Okay, well, you're out of here. Now you're not saved anymore. I can't predestinate you anymore. Turn your mind. Oh, you did change your mind? Okay, now you're predestinated again. Your soul doesn't change its mind. It has a desire that says, I will be saved. I will know this living God.
And it feeds on the word.
Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God.
And listen to this, and I challenge you to believe this. Just at face value, as soon as I read it, just believe it. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Do you believe that?
Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him.
Well, yeah, Brother Phil, I try to believe it. Why don't you? I'll tell you why. We got too much stuff. We don't see enough Christ in our life, and so we have doubts. And because of those doubts, we have doubts when we pray and we ask Him for something. And when we get that stuff out of the way and we see Christ and we recognize more and more, I really am who the Bible says I am. I really am a child of God. And then when I ask for something, I know who I am. He's going to give it to me. You know why? Because I only ask according to His will.
Because see, when you got too much stuff, when you got too much of your own stuff in the way, you don't know if you're asking according to His will or not. But when that stuff is gone and you know you're asking according to His will, then you don't have any doubt.
Say, God, I need $1 million. Now, I could ask for $1 million. And He said, well, what do you need it for? I want a new house. I want a new car. I want a boat. He's not going to give me $1 million. He knows I don't have the character to deal with, to handle it. But if he comes down and he moves on and he said, you know what, I want you to build a new church in Dixon because I'm going to bring in about 300 people. It's going to cost you about $1 million. I can ask God, we need $1 million. All right. We're getting $1 million. How is it coming, Brother Phil? I don't care. I might win the lottery. I really don't know, but we're going to get...
we're going to get $1 million because God has a need for us to have $1 million. That's how it works, brothers and sisters.
It's pretty simple. Don't let it get complicated. Whatsoever we ask, we receive him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Well, how do you keep his commandments? You died to yourself, you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you receive the new birth, and you kept walking forward. Whenever he speaks to you, you accept it, you take it, you let yourself die to it, and you keep his commandments by moving on. He said, love, the commandment I give is love one another, and you know you can't do that in your own self, and so you get your own stuff out of the way, and he loves through you, and you say, God, I need something. He says, okay, here it is. That's what it means to be a Christian, brother and sister. Anything more is just a lot of religious poppycock. Oh, Brother Phil, you need to understand this doctrine, and you need to understand that, and you need to do this. No, you don't. You just need to be the living manifestation of Christ. And one day, you get a body and a mind that doesn't have a single scar. Really, you trade something for that? What would you trade for that? A mind that has never known pain. What would you give exchange for that? Well, I just want to live it up here in this world for a while. Your choice. If that's as deep as your desire goes, go for it. Just to think, a mind that only knows perfect love, a mind that only knows perfect faith, a mind that's never been in pain, that's never held a grudge, that's never had a hurt feeling. Imagine how much he loves us to give us these things. All he wants, hey, why don't you just walk through this life, go through this struggle, go through the battles, and let my love prove to Satan who you love. See, we try to prove that we love God with our own love. Ain't gonna work, brothers and sisters. Tainted by this own world. I love you so much, God, and so many people pray that straight out of their emotional realm. You say, well, you make it sound like we're not going to feel anything anymore. But let me tell you what. What do you like to feel? The happiness you have because you're watching this funny TV show? Oh, I'm happy. Listen, this is so funny. Or the joy that comes because Christ is expressing joy out through you. Think about it. Which would you prefer? I want to fall in love and get married, God. Wonderful. I hope you do. I'm not preaching against that. But what would you rather have, that kind of love or God's love? You put God's love first, he would take care of everything. He promised to. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. He really wants us to be happy. But he knows what real happiness is. It ain't keeping my old fleshly mind happy. It's letting the joy of the Lord flow through me. And people see that. And it makes us rejoice and shout because it's God expressing himself through a mind that's uncluttered with our own stuff. We got to stop. Stand up so I can quit preaching. Thank you all for coming tonight. This was burning on my heart all the way here from Nashville. And, oh, man, I feel I've delivered my soul and I can go home and go to sleep. So God bless you all very much. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you would come and speak tonight. I just pray that no one got any false ideas or anything that was twisted or warped from what I said, that you just keep everything straight in everyone's mind, Lord Jesus. Just move upon us now, Lord Jesus, and let this word be anchored, and let your spirit just quicken it to our hearts, Lord Jesus, and so that, Father, we can walk from here and we can go forward understanding your will, understanding what you would have us do, Lord, and recognizing who we really are, Lord. We just ask this. Keep us safe, Lord Jesus, and help us to be here Sunday morning, Lord, in the right frame of mind, the right attitude, and with a testimony that we have served God, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. Brother Nate, would you come up? Let's sing a glory, glory, hallelujah.